This is Nightline. Tonight, cities on edge across America, policing under scrutiny. The newly released body camera video of a fatal shooting by police in Chicago.
Stop it.
A 13-year-old killed, sparking fresh outrage.
If you're shooting an unarmed child with his hands in the air, it is an assassination.
And from Chicago to Minnesota, to former police officers and two broken families.
I have hatred, anger, sadness.
Plus, police under pressure, how fear and stress might affect those split-second decisions.
You gotta run me!
A special look at one targeted solution.
Many of us were raised to believe that the truth is always the truth. But what we saw under stress, the truth can look different.
They're perceived truth. That's right.
Thanks for joining us. Tonight, outrage brewing in Chicago as newly released body camera video seems to contradict initial police reports and the killing of a 13-year-old boy at the hands of police, raising new questions about how law enforcement responded in this case and about policing in America. It's the body camera footage so many in Chicago had been demanding for weeks. This video now released to the public for the first time today. It shows an officer in hot pursuit, which in a split second becomes a fatal encounter. Adam Toledo, shot and killed by Chicago police. He was 13 years old.
If you're shooting an unarmed child with his hands in the air, it is an assassination.
Just after 2 a.m. on March 29th, Chicago police respond to reports of shots fired.
Chicago emergency, Travis.
Hi, I just heard gunshots.
But how many shots did you hear?
A lot, more than five.
When the two officers arrive at the scene, the pursuit begins. One 21-year-old suspect is shoved to the ground, handcuffed. Another officer chases 13-year-old Toledo down an alley. The officer shouts at Toledo to stop.
Please stop! Stop right now! Hands! Show me your hands! Stop it!
Toledo turns and begins to raise his hands. The officer fires a single shot. The officer begins CPR, but it's too late.
Shots fired! Shots fired! Get an ambulance up here now!
Chicago police's initial report of the incident had said that Toledo used force to cause bodily harm or death and showed imminent threat of battery with a weapon. The report also alleging that on the night of the incident, Toledo was armed with a semi-automatic pistol. In the video, you can see what appears to be a handgun recovered on the other side of the fence from Toledo. But during that critical moment, when the shot was fired, it does not appear Toledo was holding a gun.
I've seen no evidence whatsoever that Adam Toledo shot at the police.
Those videos speak for themselves. Adam, during his last second of life, did not have a gun in his hand.
Why'd you kill a child?
Tonight, protesters in Chicago taking to the streets to demand justice for the boy.
Seeing the Adam Toledo video was soul-crushing. It was devastating. There's no way to explain it. Watching that child killed, it's heartbreaking. And I've seen a million of these, and this one is among the worst.
Much of the focus on police accountability this week has been in the Minneapolis area. Across the state of Minnesota, at least 55 black people have died in police encounters in the last 20 years. The latest cases involving George Floyd and just this past weekend, Dante Wright, resonating across the country.
Every day we're seeing more footage, more transcripts from courts, more press conferences, more death. It's traumatic. It chips away at our spirit. People all around this country who are witnessing these spectacular forms of violence, we all need a mental health check.
Today, former Brooklyn Center police officer Kim Potter facing a judge for the first time via Zoom. The veteran cop of 26 years charged with second-degree manslaughter after shooting 20-year-old Dante Wright on Sunday. Authorities say Potter, who was training another officer at the time, pulled Wright over for an expired tag on his car. Officers discovering a warrant out for his arrest, issued after Wright failed to appear in court earlier this month on charges including carrying a firearm without a permit. As they tried to arrest him, a struggle breaks out. Moments later, Potter firing that fatal shot into Wright's left side, while yelling, "Taser."
What do you make of the argument that it was a terrible accident, that the officer thought it was a taser and fired by accident?
We are taught to give officers the benefit of the doubt. But every case, every dead black person makes the doubt less and less. And we're at a point now where we don't believe the officer when they say, "I thought it was a taser and not my handgun."
Wright's family lawyer questioning how a 26-year police veteran could have mixed up the two weapons.
At what point did you not feel that this was a gun in your hand versus a taser? And so the family, obviously, they are glad she got charged.
We were inside that conference room with Wright's friends and family as they watched Potter's first court appearance on an iPad today. Wright's parents at the opposite end of the table. This was the first time the family had seen Potter.
You just left the Zoom meeting, the Zoom hearing for Officer Potter. How did that feel to see her?
It hurt really bad. I have hatred, anger, sadness.
My colleague Stephanie Ramos speaking to his parents right after, emotions still raw.
To see how protected she is, how protected it seems like, it's very hurtful to see she's just sitting there.
And gave us a wave.
Like nothing's happened.
The wave is what really hurt my heart. She was able to just wave in the camera.
Did you feel as though there was any sense of remorse? Killing your son?
Nope.
None.
What does justice look like for the both of you, for your family?
I don't see justice at all. And I don't think my husband does either. I think justice is something that nobody can offer us right now, because that would mean my son would walk through my doors. My son would still be in my house. My son would still be at holidays and birthdays. And we will never have that again. So justice is not even a word to me. Accountability, yes, but justice, never.
Former Brooklyn Center police officer Kim Potter was brought to this jail here before being released on bond. Potter is scheduled to be back in this court next month, and this courthouse is actually diagonally across from where the Derek Chauvin trial is taking place.
Today, inside this courtroom, both the defense and prosecution resting their case in the trial of former Minneapolis officer Derek Chauvin over the killing of 46-year-old George Floyd. Chauvin, for the first time, speaking in court.
Have you made a decision today whether you intend to testify or whether you intend to invoke your Fifth Amendment privilege?
I will invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege today.
Choosing to remain silent, invoking his right against self-incrimination.
The defense's argument is that they believe there are too many factors in the cause of death to truly determine what was a manner of his death. The prosecution is saying this is a homicide, not in the legal sense, but in the medical examiner's sense, and that it's death by another.
This week, perhaps the key defense witness, forensic pathologist Dr. David Fowler, disputing the prosecution's claim that George Floyd's death was a homicide, saying instead his cause of death is undetermined because of other factors, including a heart condition and drug use.
How did the heart and drugs contribute to the cause of death?
They were significant.
But Fowler's argument running contrary to the testimony of several other medical experts called by the prosecution last week, who all testified that Floyd died of asphyxia or lack of oxygen because of Chauvin kneeling on his neck.
A healthy person subjected to what Mr. Floyd was subjected to would have died.
All eyes will be on closing arguments scheduled for Monday, and then the Chauvin case will be in the hands of the jury. While a nation remains on edge, waiting and hoping that the wheels of justice deliver just that, justice.
The American public can wrap its mind around varying guilty verdicts. But if there's a not guilty verdict, this country will go up in flames.
And why do you say that? Why is an acquittal so inflammatory in this moment in this country?
An acquittal in this case would represent the worst possibilities of America and American racism playing out in front of our eyes. We've debated cases like Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman or Mike Brown and Darren Wilson, but George Floyd and Derek Chauvin was something that almost all of us agreed on. Conservatives, liberals, cops, civilians, everybody said this was wrong. And if we can't get a conviction when everybody agrees that it was wrong and we saw it, then there's no hope. And where there's no hope, there will be no peace.
Be sure to stay with ABC News Live for complete coverage of the trial of Derek Chauvin. Coming up, a unique approach to training law enforcement. We're with the officers confronting fear and stress head on.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
As America confronts renewed cries for racial justice, we take you inside one unique program with a very different approach to training law enforcement. Here's my Nightline co-anchor, Byron Pitts.
In Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, a community still raw with grief and anger. Mourners and protesters coming together to honor the life of 20-year-old Dante Wright, killed by police officer Kim Potter on Sunday after she fired her gun instead of her taser. Dante's heartbroken family demanding accountability.
Can we get a conviction? Can we get something? Y'all see the difference? This is a taser. My nephew was killed with this, a Glock.
With the nation's focus once again on policing and use of force, some experts say training officers to control their fear might stop more incidents from ending tragically. In 2019, Nightline headed here, the Maryland Eastern Shore, to see a program that helps law enforcement officers better control their stress in tense situations. It's called Close Quarters Defense. Once mostly reserved for U.S. Special Operations and federal agencies.
They have no idea what they're going into, which is valuable because we want them to do exactly what they would do on the street.
Eric, good to see ya.
Hi, how you doing?
Dwayne Dieter is the site's founder, guru, expert in tactical training.
We're really thrilled to have you here.
On this day, a group of police officers and sheriff deputies will be his students.
We all love you. It's all about making you better. So all those trainees, come with me.
His program is all about subjects cops rarely share with the public or their families. Stress and fear.
Stress not controlled can make a person be aggressive to someone that's not necessary to be aggressive to.
Jackie Dalton, a U.S. Coast Guard veteran, on this day, a rookie cop in Havre de Grace, Maryland, fresh out of the academy.
I adore my coworkers and my chief. I don't want to let them down.
One of the key tools in Dwayne's training, this simple cloth and rope called the hood. Each time the hood comes up, the trainee encounters a new unknown scenario. Inches away could be a gunman or a pedestrian asking directions.
So the hood teaches students to do what? To be able to react quickly, an ability to be aggressive, assertive, or passive, compassionate. All has to be within split seconds as it applies.
Dalton suits up.
There's noise to help build the stressors.
So in this, you want stress?
Yes, we need it.
Stress is their friend.
It will become their friend. At first, it is not their friend normally.
Dieter observes her.
She is verbalizing, de-escalating.
Cut the knife, Kirk!
Getting a baseline on how she performs under stress before his training.
Get back!
She's getting her gun, which is very common.
Put your hands up!
Okay, so that would be a bad situation that happened. Her energy was high enough that she eventually shot the person.
Even though the person was moving away from her.
Exactly. Was not a threat. Though he attacked her initially, he moved back. So that's where we do not shoot. He's no longer an active threat. You can relax, just relax. Please just describe why you shot that person and use lethal threat.
I used lethal threat because I felt fear for my life, and they could have threatened either the person off to my left or myself or any other citizens if I let them get away.
Did you see that he had any weapon or not, the person off to your right?
He had a gun.
And did he shoot at you from that position, or what did you see?
He was aiming it towards me. He did not shoot.
What she thought wasn't real.
And not even close. She actually saw a gun.
Many of us were raised to believe that the truth is always the truth. But what we saw today, under stress, the truth can look different.
Their perceived truth, that's right. It's because they are not used to this level of stress, so their truth is very different sometimes than what truthfully happened. And they will say what they believe right off the bat because that's what they saw.
Dieter says Dalton isn't the only student perceiving things differently under stress.
He was taking my gun, he actually had it.
Sharing these videos with us of others on day one.
Can you train that out of a person?
Absolutely. We do it every single time.
All right. You did good.
Dalton is exhausted, drained, distraught that she shot an unarmed man.
All right, way to fight. You did great. So have you ever felt that before? No. In a little bit of training, this will be a comfortable thing for you. You'll feel it. You'll feel that you have the energy to respond to it and react to it. Have a seat, relax.
All right, thanks.
What do you think?
It's stressful. It's emotionally draining.
My sense from him was that he did a hell of a job.
Well, I appreciate that, but sometimes it's not enough.
Damn. You're shaking.
It's an important job, yeah. And I put a lot of pride in me doing what I do.
Get down on me!
Dieter's program can take weeks.
Put one hand down the ground in front of you!
But even after just one day of training...
She did better.
We witness a transformation in Dalton.
Get out of your stomach!
Now the person was complying and then went for the gun. She was able to pick that up.
She aced it. Controlling stress, Dieter says, actually improves decision-making.
You're smiling this time.
Yeah, I'm smiling this time. It was, it felt less stressful, even though I was still going through kind of the same thing. I was able to focus a little bit better.
What I saw from you this time is confidence.
Right.
Get back!
Building confidence for those split-second decisions between life and death.
And stop, that's good.
A vital step in America's long journey towards justice for all.
Great work. Great having you. Super job. Be safe out there, everybody.
Our thanks to Byron. And finally tonight, the life-saving call. Friends and family honoring fifth grader Damian Saavedra of Austin, Texas. You see, this past January, his quick thinking potentially saved lives. A fire breaking out at his apartment complex.
I called 911 straight away when I saw the big flashing lights. The firefighter put out the fire, and that's when I forgot that we left our turtle there. But good thing it was okay.
And this week at his elementary school, Damien, awarded for his courage. Heroes among us, big and small. That's Nightline. See you right back here tomorrow, same time. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.